All right. So last time I did Sunday school was about a month ago, probably. And we talked a little bit about suffering and having joy in suffering. And so this morning I wanted to review a little bit of that and then go further in that, as well as next week I'll be back and talk more on that. So let's start in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to go to almost the end of the chapter, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. Paul here says, For or because it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. And if you were here last time, we just talked about this verse just a little bit, kind of ended with it. And I wanted to start with it this morning because this is a very striking verse, and it gets even more, I don't know the word I'm looking for here, more crazy maybe, for lack of a better term, when you look at the definition here of some of these words. So for it has been granted to you, or some versions say it has been given to you as a gift. You've got a gift given to you. And so Paul here says there's two things that's been given to you. One is to believe in Christ, and then two is that you get to suffer for his name. If you look at the word here, the phrase it has been granted, or the word given, in the Greek, the word here is charizomai. There's two words in the New Testament used for give, typically, and the one you would see used often is the word didomi, which just means to give someone something. We talked about that last time. I could give my wife flowers. I could didomi her flowers, which just means to give. Or I could give someone a black eye. So it's not positive, it's not negative, it just means, it's kind of neutral. It just means to give someone something. It can be something positive or something negative. That's the word you see most, or used often in the New Testament for when something is given. That's not the word Paul uses here. Paul uses a very different word, and the word he uses is charizomai, and it comes from the root word charis, which is grace. So what Paul is saying here is because of God's grace, because of how gracious God is, he's given you something. And one of those things he's given you, according to his grace, is that you get to suffer for his name. So I looked into the definition of that word. You can go either to Strong's Concordance, or there's several other places. I got this one from blueletterbible.org, but this is charizomai. It says, to do something pleasant or agreeable to one. To do something pleasant or agreeable. Another definition was to do a favor or to gratify. And then a third definition was to show oneself as kind, gracious, and benevolent. So what Paul is saying here, if you were to take that definition and put it in for that phrase, Paul says, God, wanting to show himself kind to you, wanting to show himself as gracious and benevolent, God, wanting to do something agreeable to you, wanting to do something very pleasant for you, God, wanting to do you a favor, gave you the gift of suffering. And that's odd. and so, again, we talked about last time, Paul knew his Greek very well, and he chose his words very specifically. And so surely in choosing the word charizomai here, Paul knew there was some tension here. And I think he did that completely intentionally and on purpose. And I want to go in and talk about why. Why is it a gift? Why, if God wanting to show himself as kind to us, to do us a favor, why would he give us suffering? How does that even make sense? And the answer is the title of this morning. The answer is that suffering produces. Suffering prepares. Suffering produces is the simple answer. And so I just wanted to look at a few verses, three core verses to talk about that. To talk about the motivation for seeing suffering as a gift. And then to go beyond that, the motivation for rejoicing in the midst of suffering. So the first one I want to look at is Romans 5, chapter 3. Romans 5, 3. And so just a quick look at these three verses. Romans 5, 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 17, and James 1, 3. Romans 5, 3. Paul starts off the chapter by saying, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, through Jesus, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then Paul says, more than that, we rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces or prepares, some versions will say. We rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, the whole chapter is on suffering and being a jar of clay, what it means to be a jar of clay. It means that there's weakness, there's pressures, there's anxieties, there's calamities, there's death, and that's what it means to be a jar of clay. And Paul is talking in that chapter about how not to lose heart in the midst of all of that suffering. And so he will end the chapter. verse 17 is the second to last verse, I think. And so Paul says, we know that these momentary light afflictions are preparing, again, or producing. These momentary light afflictions are preparing. And then James chapter 1, verse 3. James will say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or trials of various kinds, knowing that, again, the testing of your faith, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. So three verses here, all talking about suffering, trials, tribulation, pressures, anxieties, and they all talk about, Paul in two of them, James and the other one, about rejoicing or having a different mindset about suffering because you know that suffering produces something. Suffering prepares something. So now let's back up a little bit, back to Romans 5:3, and break down and talk about what is Paul talking about here. What is being produced? What is being prepared? What is the suffering? What is the suffering doing? So Romans 5:3. So again, Paul here says this glorious statement, we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, we have access to God now through Christ, we rejoice in this hope, we rejoice in the hope of God's glory, we're rejoicing in that hope, and he says more than that though, beyond that, that's not all we rejoice in. Yes, we rejoice in the awesomeness of how glorious God is, but we also rejoice in suffering. And then he says, why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So suffering produces something, and what Paul speaks specifically of here is the character that Paul, suffering produces. Suffering produces endurance, which leads to character, and in that character, you develop hope in God. So, I think we often find ourselves, I know I do, praying and asking God for more patience, long-suffering and endurance. God, give me patience. God, give me patience. God, give me patience. And so Paul came to the understanding, I think Paul asked for patience as well, and he came to the understanding in Romans 5 that he writes about that if I want to get patience, if I want to get more endurance, more character to develop better hope, more hope in God, and a mindset of constant hope, then it's going to come through suffering. It's not going to come through any other source or any other means. It's going to come through God uses suffering as the means of producing that endurance. I think we often find ourselves asking God for the patience, for the endurance, but we certainly don't exactly appreciate it when God gives us the suffering and the trials that are going to produce that endurance and produce that character leading to hope. So Paul has a completely different mindset here about the way he thinks of suffering. When suffering comes his way, the way he processes it and thinks about it is just so foreign and so different to the world's thinking, and it's so different to what my thinking has been for the majority of my life with the various trials and stuff I've had. I flee from it. I get upset. I get frustrated. I get angry at God over trials. And Paul here is talking about a brand new mindset that he has and when suffering comes his way. Okay, so that's one of the things that Paul talks about is producing. Second verse then, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. This is Paul again. Second Corinthians 4, 17. Starting at 16, Paul says, "So then, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing, it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So these momentary light afflictions, again, are preparing something. And here, what Paul talks about, they're preparing an eternal weight of glory. And so Paul was always very specific with his words, and I love the comparison and contrast you have here with what he's talking about. So Paul says these momentary light afflictions, three words, momentary light afflictions are producing, preparing, and then three more words, eternal weight of glory. So taking those first two words, these momentary afflictions compared with eternal glory. Momentary compared with eternal. So Paul realized and understood that everything that happens to us in life, it's all momentary. It's all temporary. So you think about that. Just an example I thought of is, you know, if someone told me, you know, "Shim, today you give me $500 out of your savings account, and then tomorrow you're going to have an infinite supply of money for the rest of your life." Seems like a pretty good option, right? The example's not perfect because it's money and it ties into our selfishness a little bit. But anyway, the idea of giving something temporary, something momentary, and from that getting something that literally never ends. So here, specifically, Paul's saying that these light, momentary, or these momentary light afflictions, the temporary sufferings you go through, the temporary trials and pain and pressure you feel, it's actually preparing something that's eternal. It's preparing something that you will literally never lose. Momentary light afflictions. And then the word light is contrasted with an eternal weight of glory. So light is contrasted with weighty, something that's heavy. So trials don't feel light. Suffering doesn't feel light here. I don't think Paul is just belittling the trials and the suffering we go through. I'm only 25, and I've had a handful of things that feel pretty heavy the things I've gone through, certain trials, and certainly I haven't gone through nearly the extent of some of the stories I've heard some other people going through, but when Paul says these light afflictions, I don't think he's belittling at all. I don't think he's downplaying how hard sufferings are here. I think why Paul says light is because in comparison with what he's seen, the glimpse of what he's seen is that you don't compare a feather with a freight train. And that's what Paul sees here. He sees that, yes, even something as bad as being beaten for your faith, having family get killed for their faith, to the point where even you lose your life, he calls that light because he's had a small glimpse of the thing that it's comparing, or the thing that it's producing, the thing that it's compared to. And that is something very, very weighty. It's eternal and it's weighty. So I think about just the recent testimony of the Farrells, Molly and her family losing Stu, Molly's dad. And I think about that and to call that a light thing. Again, it almost seems a little bit insulting that Paul would talk about that as something that is light. But again, Paul had a revelation. Paul had seen something. He talks later on in 2 Corinthians about how he had been to the heavenly realms and seen things that he couldn't even speak of. And so Paul has had some deep revelation about what we get in eternity. And so in comparison to that, Paul can only say, this thing is light. It's, yes, it feels heavy now. It's supposed to feel heavy now. That's part of the production. But in comparison, it is such a light thing. Paul lived in a time when the nation, the cities, the culture was hostile to Christianity. Paul knew better than any the sufferings. You guys know the list that Paul goes through in 2 Corinthians where he talks about the things he had gone through for the sake of Christ, the beatings, the being in prison. Paul had seen people die, and Paul himself was eventually beheaded for the sake of Christ. And again, Paul calls all of that light. And it's not light in comparison with today, what we face, but it is certainly light in comparison with eternity and what we get in eternity. These momentary light afflictions are preparing an eternal weight of glory. So just pausing right there real quick before we move on to James. All of these verses talk about that suffering is preparing or suffering is produces. So you think about that. If the suffering here is preparing the eternal weight of glory here, then you tell me what happens to the eternal weight of glory if the suffering doesn't happen. If this thing is preparing this, if it's producing this, if this is what's making this, then if we don't have this, then we don't have this either. If we don't have the suffering, then we don't have the eternal weight of glory because that is producing it. So it's not just, again, it's not just the idea that we kind of have to barrel our way down and just get through life and get through life until finally we get to heaven and everything's good. And that's kind of the mindset I've had in the past is that life is going to suck and I just have to get through it until I get to heaven. But Paul says, no, you don't just have to bury your way down because it's not just that the sufferings precede the glory. The sufferings don't just come before the glory. The sufferings produce the glory. There are the sufferings, the trials are what's making the glorious thing. It's what's preparing that eternal weight of glory. And all three of those verses speak directly to that. So the last verse then, James chapter 1, verse 3. James 1:3, starting at verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I don't have a whole lot to say about this verse other than, again, just to notice the production of suffering. That the trials, they're producing something. They're leading to that steadfastness that will have its full work in you. And so what I love about this verse, too, is that when Paul's talking about suffering, I can immediately think of, well, Paul was probably talking about persecution in most of those cases, because Paul was going through some pretty heavy persecution, being beaten for his faith. And so then I got to think about, well, when it talks about suffering in the Bible, is it just talking about that kind of suffering? Or, you know, what about when I'm stressed out because my baby's crying? Can that be, is that a trial that I can consider joy? Or what about if my car gets a flat tire? And so James here, I think, answers that question when he says, count it all joy when you fall into trials of all kinds or various kinds. James here says, yes, it is every single trial you face in life, whether it be you're persecuted for your faith or whether it be you get a flat tire on your way to work and it's stressful. You can feel the pressure. And all of that, you know that when you're rejoicing, when you're choosing by faith, I'm choosing you, Lord. I'm choosing to have joy in this instead of blaspheme you or get angry at you. You know that suffering, those trials are producing. They're preparing something. So then just to wrap up in summary, for the Christian, there is no such thing as meaningless suffering. Part of our inheritance as a Christian is that we get that brand new mindset in suffering. We get a brand new way to think about our trials, the pressures, the tribulation and the suffering, and we can think about it differently, knowing that there is no such thing as meaningless suffering. Every trial you encounter, as meaningless as it may feel in the moment, it's producing, it's preparing something. And so as a Christian, that's part of our inheritance, is that we get to think of suffering that way. And that's why Paul, in having that mindset, can say, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul says, in all of our afflictions, I am overflowing with joy. And so the core of all of this is that a summary statement would be that suffering is producing more Christ in me. Suffering is producing more of my closeness to Christ. All of it is leading me into deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can rejoice in suffering. Because of that, you can look at suffering and trials when they come your way and choose to have joy and choose to embrace them as opposed to trying to flee from them. So next week, I want to talk a little bit about the process of choosing joy in suffering. And just a quick last thing I'll say on that is I love that James, for example, says, consider it all joy or count it all joy. He doesn't say, feel it all joy. He doesn't say, feel the joy when you're in the suffering. He says, consider, choose by faith, choose that joy. So next week, I want to talk a little bit about the mindset of choosing joy and suffering. How do we do that practically? So let me pray real quick. Father, just ask in Jesus' name that you would take this teaching of Paul, of James, of your disciples, Lord, of Jesus, and let it go deeper in us. Take these seeds, Lord, and let them take deep, deep root in us, that we would have a different mindset towards suffering, that like Paul, we would be able to rejoice in suffering, that in all of our afflictions, we would overflow with joy. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.